Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 49, studying Luke's Gospel. As we begin today's study, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH 6988 to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of these IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. This program update, starting in 2020, this IGH 260 series will transition to an exclusive online platform and then be known as the 260 Project. To keep up with this ongoing study in the new year, visit the 260 Project website at the260project.org. That's the word the, followed by 260, the number 260, followed by the word project.org. the260project.org. At that page, you will find links for our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest pages, and a link to sign up for our weekly newsletter. Though all of our web, social media, and newsletter links will keep you up to date with upcoming programs, the weekly newsletter will always be the most effective way. Sign up at the260project.org today. We hope that you can join us in 2020 as we continue this study of every chapter in the New Testament. Let's get back into our study of Luke's Gospel. But this reminder first. Remember, Scripture presents God as saying, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in these three words, faith, repentance, baptism. Each of those three words entails a beginning place, a starting place that never ends. For example, biblical saving faith, in order for it to be what God wants it to be, it will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, biblical saving faith, it never stops. Likewise, repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, once repentance starts, it never stops. And finally, baptism, our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ's initial obedience, baptism has never been a one-time, one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. Baptism has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, that is, our daily death to self and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you, are we, am I modeling Jesus today? Let's return to our study of the delivered principle that we see introduced in Luke chapter 1. As we surveyed the New Testament's teaching about this principle, we noted that there are at least 5 generations, 5 transfers of the gospel. Those generational transfers start with God the Father, and they end with others also, the language Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here are the 5 generational transfers that we have introduced and that we continue to explore. First generation, from God the Father to God the incarnate Son, that is, from God the Father to Jesus. Second generation, from Jesus Messiah to his apostles. Third generation, the next one up for discussion, from Jesus' apostles to men like Timothy and to men like Luke. Fourth generation, from men like Timothy and Luke to faithful men like Theophilus. And finally, the fifth generation, from faithful men like Theophilus to others also. As we prepare to tackle the third generation, that is, the transfer of God's saving message from the apostles of Jesus to men like Timothy and to men like Luke, this quick reminder from the end of our last broadcast. What God taught Jesus was not just the first generation of good news. It was the same good news that God wants us to know, us to believe, and us to follow today. What Jesus taught the apostles was not just the second generation of good news. It was, like the first generation from father to son, just what we need to know about what God and Christ want us to believe and follow today. And what the apostles taught to Luke and Timothy and to others like them was not just the third generation of the good news. It was, just like the first two generations, what we need to know about what God and Christ and the apostles want us to believe and follow today. So, when we read the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2, for example, we need to realize that those are not just Peter's words. Throughout Acts chapter 2, either Luke the writer or Peter the speaker tell us that the message Peter delivered on that occasion was ordained of God, that it was the fulfillment of prophecy, that it was consistent with God's eternal plan to redeem mankind through Jesus, that it was consistent with Christ's life and Christ's purpose, that it was revealed through the guidance of the Spirit of God, that it was for the next generation of believers to hear, to believe, to be changed by, to be converted by, to become Christ by, and thus to honor and to glorify God by. What we will see in our future studies as we examine what the apostles taught others will be consistent with that first generation, what the Father taught the Son. And it will be consistent with that second generation, what Jesus the Son taught the apostles. And, as we are about to see in our ongoing studies, it will be consistent with what the apostles taught the next generation to men like Luke and to men like Timothy. Additionally, though we are not there yet, it will be consistent with what that next generation, men like Luke and Timothy, taught the following generation to men like Theophilus. And then finally, what men like Theophilus and others taught others also. Before we jump headlong into that third generational transfer, what the apostles taught men like Luke and men like Timothy, a brief thought about why all of this impacts us today. What do you believe? Spiritually, religiously, biblically. Where did it come from? Parents? Grandparents? Other family members? Friends? Co-workers? Neighbors? Classmates, religious leaders? Why do you believe it? Do you believe what you do because you have always believed it? Because it's true and because you know that it's true? Because you can find it, read it, know it from God's Word? Because it makes sense? Or maybe you have not really given much thought to what you believe, where it came from, and why you believe as you do? The delivered principle remains just as important today as it was when scriptures were written. How so? Consider this. Think for a moment about something that you believe in, something biblical, some questions about whatever that might be. Can you find it in the delivered principle as we read about it in scripture? Did God the Father deliver what you believe to Jesus the Son? Did Jesus the Son deliver what you believe to the apostles? Did the apostles deliver what you believe to the second generation of believers, to believers like Luke and Timothy? Did believers like Luke and Timothy, did they deliver what you believe to the next generation of believers, to men like Theophilus or to those taught by Timothy in Ephesus? And finally, did believers like Theophilus and others like him in his generational place, did they deliver what you believe to the generation beyond them, to others also? Some additional questions. The first questions that we asked related to the oral transfer of God's message from one generation to the next. But, as we saw in our earlier studies, there's also a written transfer of God's message that took place. As with the oral transfer, it all starts with God, with God's words which I have put in your mouth, the language of Isaiah 59, verse 21. Only, rather than transmitting the divine message orally, this series of transfers starts with God as He transmits His saving truths to and through the Holy Spirit, who in turn, through the inspiration/revelation process, passes those truths along to men like Paul, who in turn wrote, that is, delivered those words in what we know as Scripture, so that those who read Paul's words would have Paul's understanding, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, which was what the Spirit revealed to, that is, delivered to Paul, which was what the Spirit received from God the Father. These questions, in light of that, are similar. Can you find what you believe in the delivered principle that resulted in inspired/revealed Scripture? Did God the Father deliver what you believe to and through the Holy Spirit? Did the Holy Spirit deliver what you believe to and through inspired writers like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, or Paul? Did these inspired writers deliver what you believe to individuals like Timothy or Titus or Philemon? Did they deliver what you believe to churches like those at Rome or Ephesus or Thessalonica or to the churches in Galatia? Why all of these questions about the delivered principle, as it was manifest through either oral or written/scripture generational transfers? We ask these questions for the following reasons. If you cannot find what you believe in any oral generational transfer from God the Father to and through Jesus the Son, to and through the Apostles, to and through Luke or Timothy, to and through Theophilus, or finally, to and through others also, then where did what you believe come from? What you believe must come from somewhere. It must be rooted in something that you consider spiritually authoritative. If it cannot be found in the generational transfers that we find taught in Scripture, why do you believe it? Yes, these questions can be troublesome. They can be disturbing. They might come across as a bit too personal, perhaps even a bit judgmental. But they are asked not to cause trouble, not to disturb, not to hurt you personally, and not to be judgmental. They are asked to make us think, to think about what we believe, and to think about why we believe it. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Luke's Gospel. These reminders as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org.